Welcome to Advisor Go Radio. I'm Stephanie Sammons.
And I'm Zach Miller.
This episode of Advisor Go Radio is sponsored by Arcovi Social Media Archiving. Arcovi helps financial professionals and firms leverage the power of social media. Learn more at arcovi.com. Also, you can use a code when you sign up for Arcovi and get a discount on their services if you're a financial advisor. And the code is ADVGO11, ADVGO11. So special thanks to Arcovi for continuing to sponsor Advisor Go Radio.
Thanks, guys.
So we're back. We had a week where we couldn't get together. Our schedules were just crazy. So we're back now.
We're here, and I don't know if the market is, but we're here.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy, hasn't it?
It's been brutal. Yeah.
I was just, those bank and financial stocks, ouch.
I think for over the past, year and a half or two, I've been telling clients that, before when the market was crashing, there was a question about the viability of the whole financial sector, and we're beyond that now. That was what I'd been telling them.
Yeah.
Now I think, I don't know, looks like that's back on the table again.
Well, interestingly enough, the NASDAQ is up. So, Apple is announcing their iPhone 5 today. And I don't even know if it's come out yet, exactly what it is. But there was all kinds of speculation. Is it really just going to be an upgrade to the existing phone, or is it going to be an actual iPhone 5 with new features? And it's been, 15 months since they've come out with a new
phone. Long time in the Apple product cycle, yeah.
Yeah. And, without Steve Jobs now, I would think they would really have to come out with something with a bang, honestly, for the stock to respond well. But that's neither here nor there. We're not stock analysts. I'm not anyway.
It's not by day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm still waiting for the Facebook phone.
Oh yeah. Is that coming out, or was that just a giant rumor?
They had tried previously with an HTC phone. I think with MySpace, they had tried to launch a phone specifically for social media. Didn't work very well because general phones have good social media capacities right now. But
yeah.
Yeah, but it seems like Facebook probably is in a good position to theoretically launch, technology products off of their platform.
Well, Facebook has a new messaging app for the iPhone that, as you send messages back and forth to your Facebook connections, it's designed to really replace text messaging as we know it. And I have to say, I'm using it a lot. I've got it set up to where whenever somebody sends me a message on Facebook, it hits, I get an alert and it hits my phone like a text message would. Kind of the same thing with the Twitter direct message, communicating back and forth. But it's really cool. I'm a believer in, I think Facebook, they are weaving their way into every corner of the online experience.
I mean, they've made a public announcement that they're going after email messaging. So, I mentioned this before on the show. My kids don't use email anymore. All their messaging is happening through Facebook.
Yeah, or they use, text messaging. That's their big communication tool. And if text messaging eventually converts into Facebook messaging, for example, which is what's happening, they're taking over the communication on mobile devices, essentially. So, and on that note, I'm sure everybody probably heard about Facebook made some major changes to the site. And as I mentioned earlier, the company is weaving its way into every corner of the online experience. I can really envision a day where we don't physically visit Facebook.com to experience the site, that it comes to us. It's everywhere. It's present on every...
Sort of like Twitter in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on every news site. It's, your social graph comes with you everywhere. And in fact, they've said that. But I think it's becoming increasingly important to have a presence there as a professional, as a business person. However, it's complex, and there are a lot of moving parts and pieces, and it does require becoming knowledgeable about all of that.
We shared kind of a joke this week when I came out with a weekly newsletter on new rules of investing, about ways that advisors can prospect on Facebook. And Steph, you sent me back an email if I was changing my tune.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because I remember early on in the show, you were like, I don't know about Facebook. And I'm like, you know, 800 million people, come on, we got to figure out a way to get in there. But I will say, you know, right now, if you develop a Facebook business page, I think it's going to be extremely important to have one. Mm-hmm. However, it's really difficult to get traction unless you're running an ad campaign. And running an ad campaign that drives people to join your community, your Facebook page.
So now, when you're talking about an ad campaign, you're talking about within Facebook itself.
Within Facebook, right. Not necessarily driving people out to your blog or out to your site, but driving them to your page where there's some kind of a benefit that's offered, maybe a free white paper or a free ebook. And, you know, encouraging them to, I've seen it work well when an advisor creates a community and positions it that way. You know, join our community of women business owners, whatever it might be, versus, hey, like our page. And why would anyone like a page of a financial advisor or a dentist or a lawyer, you know? So you've really got to get creative. And using their ad platform is a good way to drive visibility. However, then you're also looking at regulatory environment and advertising, mm-hmm. and you can't put the disclaimer on a Facebook ad because it's too small. You only have a few characters there where you can write your ad.
I guess my only reluctance, and it has less to do with Facebook than it does just from a strategic point of view, is investing in sending traffic to an environment that you don't control completely. And, you know, there's obviously a lot of compelling reasons, 800 million of them, to invest in Facebook. But I was always like, if you spend money and time, like, I want to build my locus, my center, use the word hub a lot, you know, my hub as my website. Yeah. That's open. It's accessible to everybody online. It's open to Google searches and stuff like that. I'm getting 50% of my traffic from Google searches just because I have good content there.
Yeah,
I
totally agree. You've got to own your home, you know, and your central hub, which we position as your blog, you know, your social media hub at Wired Advisor. But because it's interactive and it easily connects with your social profiles, but you don't own those you don't own your space on those channels. So, you know, I think if you do drive traffic to your page and you capture that like, or they mm-hmm. join your community, then I think the next thing that they see needs to be some kind of an offer where you can capture, you can either drive them to a landing page on your blog, or mm-hmm. you can blog or website, or you can make a special offer and capture an email right there. You know, capture name, address, whatever you want to capture. That has not been effective, however, versus maybe just sending to a landing page and trying to drive some traffic back to your site.
So you're strategically still whatever traffic or whatever attention you're garnering within Facebook, you're still trying to find a way somehow then to extract that back to an environment that you do own.
That's right. Okay. Because you don't get any data on those people who are you know, Wired Advisor has almost 1,000 fans. But wow. I don't know anything about them, you know. Most of them, unless they've got their personal profile set to completely public, where everything is visible. But you can't technically, you don't have access to their email addresses or any of their information. None of that. Facebook owns that data, which is what we're talking about here. You yep. don't own the data. So you've got to take measures to capture, take it a step further, to build more of a relationship with that fan. I think you've got to get permission to get into their email inbox and get that communication privilege so that you can stay in front of them and then cultivate the people who are on your list.
And that really was the essence of my my weekly email, was to find a way to capture that email address, whether it's through hosting webinars directly within Facebook or running, you know, any some type of sweepstakes or giveaways where you can actually capture that email address and then start that more direct relationship with the, with your target.
Yeah, I think that was a great piece that you did. We should link to that in the show notes, because from your newsletter, it was. It was interesting. I was glad to see you coming around thinking my way. I'm just teasing. But anyway, Facebook has announced a bunch of changes. I'm not going to go through all of them. Really, the site is becoming more active, busy. The big thing, you can also create lists of, it's easier to create lists of people you want to share with and keep track of, family, close friends, work acquaintances, colleagues. But the big thing is that you can now subscribe to anyone in Facebook without being friends with them. So they don't have to let me into their inner circle. I don't have to let them into my inner circle, but I can still subscribe to their public updates. And if I've got subscribers and there's something I just really don't want to share publicly, I just want to share with my Facebook friends, then I can make that decision, you know, each time. But here's what I'm finding. I went out and I subscribed to a lot of the marketing thought leaders out there and technology thought leaders. Because Facebook will give you ideas of who to subscribe to based on your interests. They know everything about us, right?
Scary. Yeah.
It is scary. And what I'm loving about this versus Twitter is that the updates are so much richer. There are images, and it's not 140 characters long. It's a paragraph, and it's videos, and it's just a much richer stream that's being shared.
I think Google Plus has the same type of richness, that there's, you can have a video and links and photos where it's like you're sort of in a more enrapturing environment. It's not just text and unending text at it.
Yeah, it is very similar to Google, which is probably where they got the idea. But
well, they're sort of all merging, right? The idea that I can subscribe to other people without actually being friends with them—that's very much like the Twitter model.
Yes,
where I'm just plugging into your stream, I'm getting your information, but it doesn't say anything about the nature of our relationship.
Yeah, and Facebook is getting a lot of criticism for that, because that's not how what the platform was built on. It was built on enriching your personal life, you know, and your personal connections. So I don't know if it will be adopted by the masses. It's getting very complicated for your average person, I think, Facebook is.
Yeah.
But I like the idea, and it does have implications for professional marketers. You know, if someone can subscribe, I almost like it better than a Facebook business page, because it's the person, you know, it's built around the person and what their insights and ideas are versus more of a corporate stuffy look and feel.
That's
maybe
a great point.
Maybe a business page. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how it works, but I'm really liking it. It's making me go back to the site more, I'll tell you that.
All I know that I walked into my partner's office and he said, you know, isn't there anything, you know, sacred anymore? I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, you just liked a picture of a sonogram. I'm like, how'd you know that? You know, because there's all kinds of new sort of sharing technology, you know, capabilities. I'm not quite clear how they work. And turns out that one of my friends growing up, you know, his wife is pregnant for the first time, and he shared a sonogram photo. He's a doctor. And my partner saw that. I liked that. And it was, he saw the photo itself. And it was like, you know, couldn't quite understand how that worked. But, you know, it certainly made us talk.
Yeah. And there is a hierarchy of what shows up in the newsfeed. You know, your friends, your official friend connections, their information is always going to be fed to you first or have priority. But I think I read, and I'll have to double check this, that these subscriber or subscriptions, the people you subscribe to are going to come in second. And the business pages and brands next. Coming after that. So it will be interesting to watch. But I think we've got to pay attention to Facebook. Anybody who's a business person, like I said, it's they're really infiltrating the web in a significant way. I mean, I could see a day where you don't go to Google anymore to search for what you're looking for because Facebook has so much information about us. They're going to deliver. They're going to push to us what we're looking for before we ever need to go out and find it.
Well, one of the main things that differentiates Facebook, even though it's a closed environment, we talk about this closed, you know, it's walled in some way, is that it has all this activity and social activity that Google doesn't have access to. And that is extremely powerful in the long run.
Yeah, it is. Well, and then the last thing got the big buzz with Facebook is the new timeline, which is you can build it's like a personal scrapbook of your life. And they're going to also be cataloging and archiving your activities and you know, your experiences as you share them on Facebook. Such as if I go to the OU Texas football game this weekend, which go Sooners, and I take pictures of that and talk about it on Facebook, it's going to be cataloged there forever, invisible. You know, people can pull up your timeline. And so if you think about that from an intelligence standpoint, if you make connections with clients and prospects there, gosh, think about all of the information you can learn about the people that you're doing business with or that you want to do business with. I mean, obviously, you've got to be careful with that. It's a privilege to have access to that kind of information. But, you know, to understand what they care about and what's going on in their lives is really compelling.
Absolutely.
Well, we've
talked about sort of movements within the social media space. There was a launch, a more public launch of a new advisor, a web-based advisor called Personal Capital. Did you see that this week?
I did. I saw that in your trade streaming newsletter, and it totally intrigued me. I spent some time checking it out, but I want you to talk about this. And, you know, is this a new competitor for financial advisors or not really? That's tell us about it. What is it? And what are they trying to accomplish? And then I'd love to ask some questions about it.
Sure. So I mean, I have to say I haven't spoken to them directly yet, so I don't, you know, what I'm going to say is sort of what I see. It's not that I'd love to do an interview with them, and I'm trying to get an interview with them shortly. But I do think it's competitive, and I think what's happening is the delivery of financial services, the channel of delivery is moving more and more online, and I think that's what Personal Capital is. It's really the quality of the services is the same. The nature of the services is the same. They're providing advisory services, but how it's delivered and the channel that's delivered, that's all online. And I think that's the departure. And what we've seen just recently is a couple West Coast-based technology firms in the financial sphere raise big money, which is interesting for me just from a demographic or geographic point of view, is that these are companies being launched on the West Coast and not in New York. Hmm. So you're sort of seeing this emergence of sort of a new way to do financial services that in some way eschews the old guard. And we've had that in the past, and most of them have been, you know, bad failures just because, you know, nobody wants a radical new way to do business. But this Personal Capital, to me, in my mind, that's the way people want to do business. They want to have access to all their data. They want access to their portfolios. They want low fees. And if they want to speak to somebody, you know, they can do it. They can do it through the web or through a phone, and they don't actually have to sit with somebody. So there's never that direct, you know, person sitting across from you in a conference room. It's all done online.
So it's personalcapital.com, right?
Yeah.
And so, in a way, what it looks like to me is they're leading with data capture. So
they do aggregation of your accounts across across brokerages. Yes.
Okay, so you've got accounts at Fidelity, you've got accounts at Merrill Lynch, you've got 401ks, mm-hmm. kind of like Mint, where Mint.com, mm-hmm. where you can put everything together and have a comprehensive view of your money. Mm-hmm. What about do they cover banking expenses, credit cards, that kind of thing?
I don't think
they
so.
Grab that?
It's focused on the investment piece.
Okay. And then from what I read, they have, so it's an investment firm. They have a handful, I don't remember how many, financial advisors that work for them, right?
They're on staff. They're on staff. Yeah. I think they're probably like CFPs or something on staff.
So you get, you know, you turn over your, you know, the big challenge always as financial advisors is getting the client or prospective client to share all of their information with you. Mm-hmm. You know, where are all the bodies buried? Where's all your money? And, right. You know, so that you can, you know, the pitch was always so that we can build a comprehensive view for you and make sure that the right arm knows what the left arm is doing. You know, we need to know where all of your assets are held and how they're invested so that we can provide a, you know, comprehensive plan. So it seems like they're leading with that idea. Mm-hmm. And then once you sign up, what, somebody calls you, an advisor?
Yeah, you get a call, I don't know, the same day or the next day. There was a New York Times article we can link to in the show notes that the person had gone, the journalist had gone through the process. I think it's the same day or the next day you get a phone call.
Okay, but are you automatically signed up for asset management with them at that time? Or do you have to, you know, is
no,
that,
I think
that
you have
or
to
aggregation
opt-in.
Free? Yep. Okay.
Aggregation is free. That's what they lead with, right? So in some way, that's the value proposition. I'm looking for a way to manage everything at once. Before I even move to the advisory role, they're providing that technology. That's free, and it appears that that will always be free. It's good for me. I get to see everything in one place. Then they get to know a lot about me. And then they follow up with an advisory pitch.
Okay. And then fees are...
low, very low. I think
less than 1%.
You know, less than 1% across the board.
Still, I mean, low, but you know, not like something you get at an E-Trade or a Schwab or whatever.
Well, again, I mean, here you're getting it. You're speaking to an advisor or somebody on the other line. I mean, you're not. It's not totally do it yourself. So, I mean, there's a fee built in.
Well, how is that different? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Ahead.
It's certainly different than you know paying 1.5% to a full service advisor. The thing is, and I think what they've done a really good job on the site, having gone through it, is that they've taken a very investor centric approach. So even the way they describe the products or the process is in a way that I understand. It's not full of like jargon, right? So everything's personalized. They use the word personal all over the place. It's even the name of their company, Personal Capital. They have personal funds, personal strategies. So even though delivery is online, the pitch is always that it's customized to my specific standing in life. And I think they're using some form of SMAs, right? Which if you try to explain using separately managed accounts, I mean, that's a brokerage term. That's not really an investor term. Mm-hmm. So they talk about personal funds, right? These are your personal funds that you're investing in. Don't need the word SMA. It's a lot more understandable for me as a user than sort of the way traditional brokerage services have been. So it's, in some way it's taken and become much more, it's come down from the ivory tower, and it's much more accessible in a way.
Okay, and then I read their target is the $250,000 to $2 million, you know, segment.
That's a mass affluent, right?
Yep. And then the advice, the delivery of the advice and guidance, you're saying the channel of delivery is online. What do you mean? What happens?
Web and the phone, I think. It happens between, you know, again, you're not ever physically meeting with a person. You hook up all of your accounts there. You get this dashboard to see all of your stuff. And I do think actually I misspoke before. I think they do get credit card information. I can see it all in one place. They can see it all. And then I get that phone call. Would you like advisory services? Here's how it works. I think they must bucket everybody. So that maybe they have 6 sample portfolios or something, even though they sound personalized. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can actually personalize every single, that'd be one question I would ask them, is if you actually really personalize and customizing every single portfolio you make. I assume they have different buckets or different personas. And, you know, if I'm the young executive, upwardly mobile guy who has some cash, like I fall into this bucket and I get this portfolio. And then I guess, you know, at a click a button, you opt into the advisory agreement, and then they execute it on their end.
Well, interesting. I mean, I just can't I guess I can't figure out how is that really different from a Fidelity, let's say, where it's sort of built on this idea of I guess Fidelity is more built on the idea of do it yourself, but
yeah.
All of these firms have since come out with guidance and financial planners or people you can talk to, because it was quickly figured out that there needed to be that level or that layer of support for people.
People need information, yeah.
And guidance,
it's a good point. I mean, is it really that different from sort of the hybrid models like a Fidelity that, you know, if you have a certain, you know, sum of assets, you do get access to a person who sits in a call center somewhere and provides you, you know, a layer of advice on top. You know, this is automated to a certain extent, but you know, they do provide that personal person at the other end.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
It's definitely something to watch because, you know, back in the late 90s, when it just, you know, the markets went up forever and everybody started to believe, oh, I don't need a financial advisor. You know, I could do this on my own. There were a whole new generation of companies were born out of that in financial services and working with consumers. So you wonder, as we continue to evolve into a more social media type landscape, in an online, you know, a virtual world, if we're going to see the same, a whole new generation of companies that manage assets come out of this.
One of the, I guess, prognostications I made in my book, Trade Stream Your Way to Profits, which came out last year, was that you'll see more and more what I described as, I don't know if it's a good term, but professional grade automated services, right? Where I feel like I'm getting personalized, professional level advice, yet it's delivered in an automated way online. And I think Personal Capital definitely falls into that bucket. And one of the other reasons I think you should take them seriously is just you look at their roster of the guys who founded the company, and it's like all-star team. So, you know, the CEO is Bill Harris, who was one of the CEOs of PayPal and Intuit at one point. Mm-hmm. Chief Strategy Officer co-founded EverBank, one of the nation's first and most successful online banks. And their CIO, Jay Shah, was the CIO at eLoan for 5 years. So these were guys who have been online and really understand like online delivery of financial services. So, yeah, I think they're in it to win it, you know.
Well, it will be interesting to watch. And then also, you know, the implications for individual financial advisors out there. You know, you have to stay fresh to compete. And you have to, you know, Zach, we're both big bloggers in that we use a blogging platform to share our thought leadership, and we use thought leadership as a marketing tool.
Absolutely.
I just think it's so important for individual financial advisors and teams to have a voice, because, you know, you got to stay out there and talk about, reach your target audience, talk about their issues and concerns and problems, to compete.
So This is like further consolidation and I guess institutionalizing services in the financial sector. So to compete, you have to find that, you know, what sets you apart from these guys. So Personal Capital team will never get to know, you know, they'll never be invited to my son's bar mitzvah. You know, they just won't, because that's not their model. So, you know, it's going to appeal to people that, you know, that's not important to, but there will always be people that value that, either that expertise or that personal touch that, and as advisors, as service providers, we need to focus on those skills.
I agree. You know, there will always be, a big segment of the population that wants that personal relationship and wants somebody that they can look at, you know, the whites of their eyes and sit down face to face.
Somebody to scream at when it goes wrong.
Exactly. Now the typical situation is that, yeah, they need somebody to blame when things go wrong, and then they need somebody to share they always love to take the credit for when things go right.
Yep.
So funny. That's how. Yeah,
that's human nature.
It is.
Yeah, but that's a great way to put it.
So anyway, well, that's interesting, and I'm glad you you find some great stuff, and it's really, I don't know how you stay on top of it all, but
Twitter.
I'm glad that you share it. Yeah, I know, exactly. Twitter.
But yeah, so Personal Capital, guys, check that one out. Even if it's just a way to benchmark yourself against them. And the other company, which we'll speak about another time, was called Motif Investing. I'd be interested. They both raised about $25-26 million early on in their launches. So, you know, they got some serious money now to start growing.
No kidding. That is some serious dough. Well, great. Well, I think we probably ought to wrap up. We've been going for a while, but good stuff today.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
There's so much more. We could go on for hours and hours, but we'll, you know, we want to keep it digestible, right, for everybody. So I guess that's it for this edition of Advisor Go Radio, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, guys.
And Zach, we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Steph. Bye-bye.